In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. Israel spent decades, even centuries, building themselves up to the point where they were proud. Building themselves up to the point where David and Solomon sat on the throne, overlooking hundreds of square miles of land that they believed they were in charge of. But how quickly it had begun to crumble. And as we've been following the people of Israel on their journey, Assyria in the north had reared its head against Israel, destroying the northern kingdom and bringing the southern kingdom to the brink of death. But God had stepped in. He had held Assyria at bay because King Hezekiah had humbled himself and relied on the Lord, not on Egypt. But then Hezekiah had turned back and started to work with the Babylonians in the east. And Isaiah had told us last week that Babylon was coming. That they were going to destroy and wipe Israel off the face of the earth and haul them off into slavery. But Isaiah had told them that after the destruction, comfort will come. If you turn to the Lord, if you wait on the Lord, you will soar like eagles once again. As they wait for Babylon to destroy them, the prophet continues to teach them about what it means to be faithful, about what it means to truly lean on God. And the prophet begins to use the motif of a servant, as Israel should be, a servant who lives by faith and trust in the Lord. And from chapter 42 on through our text today in chapters 50 and 51, we see pieces of Isaiah using this servant as an example of what it means to lean on God. And in chapters 50 and 51 in our text, we hear Isaiah speaking as the faithful servant saying, "When my enemies came against me, I did not turn my back on the Lord. I gave my body to be crushed by the attackers. I gave my beard to be ripped out by my enemies. I did not turn away from the insults and attacks because I know that the Lord is with me. He is my help. The Lord will come through. He will restore Zion to the Garden of Eden. The Lord will be the salvation and the rescue of his people. And so I do not fear human enemies. I do not fear the rulers and the horses and the chariots that come against me. I give myself over to be destroyed by them if God so desires. Because if God is on my side, who can stand against me? I will trust in the Lord. I will rely on him. Even as my enemies come to destroy me." This message of Isaiah to the people of what it meant to be faithful was impossible for them to stomach. Isaiah was putting forward an absurd picture of turning the other cheek, of allowing Babylon to just waltz in and destroy them. How could they let Babylon just take them over? How could they give their bodies over to be destroyed by Babylon? Just give their cheeks to be insulted, spit upon by the evil enemy to the east. But here was Isaiah challenging them to see that this was the path of the faithful servant of God. But Israel had accomplished so much, and it was slipping through their hands. They had built up the dynasty of King David. They had built this great temple that even the nations of the world were jealous of the luxury, the gold, the tapestries. They couldn't just give that away. Israel had made themselves great. The priestly system, the sacrificial system, they believe God dwelled in their building. How could they just let it all be destroyed? This was their dream. A dream that had taken centuries to come into fruition. Centuries and bloodshed upon bloodshed. They had built themselves up to this pinnacle. How could the prophet Isaiah say, just give yourselves over to be destroyed? They couldn't take the message. They couldn't just lay down their lives. And so they held on for dear life. They clung to every last dream and plan that they had had, holding on to the dynasty of David, holding on to the temple in Jerusalem, holding on to their whole priestly and sacrificial system. Just as they had built it up, they were going to hold on to it as they were crushed. They would fight with their last dying breath. They couldn't let go. And so Babylon came through. And the pain that they underwent in their destruction was tenfold, 100-fold of what it would have been if they would have just let go. And they held on to the last minute, and at the end, they were left with nothing. Jerusalem destroyed, the temple burned to the ground. And all the elites hauled off as slaves, humiliated in Babylon. The king, the line of King David, all of the sons wiped out, and the last king blinded and left to die alone in a dungeon. They couldn't let go of the dream. Over 490 years later, Jesus came on to the scene in Israel, proclaiming that Isaiah had always been right. That the path of faithfulness to God involved loving one's enemies, of turning the other cheek to the oppressor, of letting the oppressor do his worst, of letting the oppressor tear down your dreams, your plans, and just leaning on God in the nothingness, in the emptiness of losing it all, leaning on God, trusting in His power to raise the dead. And so Jesus modeled His whole life after the servant that Isaiah had preached. That faithful servant who allowed himself to be crushed by the oppressor, who gave his body to the attackers, who did not stand down in the midst of insults, but was willing to be crushed and lean on God, saying, if God stands with me, who can stand against me?
Amen.
And he was crushed and nailed to a cross to the humiliation in front of everyone. But 3 days later, the disciples had seen something that made them think that Jesus' path was, in fact, the right one. His tomb was empty. And they began to encounter Jesus raised from the dead. And they began to wonder to themselves, could Isaiah have been right all along? That God helps those who lay down their lives, who destroy their lives, in order to be faithful to God. And that the way to stand against Rome is not to fight against Rome with Rome's ways, but to turn the other cheek, to love the Roman enemy, to let their plans, their plans, their dreams, their wealth, all that they had built up, just let it be destroyed. Because in the nothingness, God would bring resurrection life. That was the hope that caused the church to explode in our world. And yet we, sitting in a long, long tradition of hundreds of years of Christians who have gone before us. We still struggle, do we not, to embrace the life of the faithful servant that Isaiah paints for us. The life of the faithful servant that Jesus himself embodies to his very last breath. As we in the church have gotten a grasp of power and wealth in our world, we have clung to it just in the same way that Israel clung to the David dynasty, to the temple in Israel. We have clung to every scrap of worldly recognition that we have been given. And when we've held that power, that wealth, that prestige in the world's eyes, have we not quickly sold our souls to no longer be the faithful servant who gives of ourselves and lay down our very lives to be destroyed, trusting in God's power? Instead, we have tried to play the games of our world. We have been seduced again and again in every Christian generation because Satan does not stand down from calling us into his ways. We need to challenge ourselves again this morning. For us in 21st century America, are we embodying the servant way of Isaiah, the servant way of Jesus, as we live in Kansas City, as we live in the American Empire, as we live in this neighborhood? Are we willing, as Jesus taught us in Matthew 10 and Matthew 16, to lose our lives in order to let God give us the life that he wants? Or have we fallen in love so much with the lives that we've made for ourselves that we are clinging to them in the same way that Israel clung to the temple in the David dynasty, refusing to let go? What is it that we cling to in our lives today as Christians that we're refusing to let go of? Is there a sense of influence in our American culture that we are clinging to, thinking we can influence the political climate of America? Is there a certain amount of wealth and power that we have had throughout the centuries in our context that we will not let go of? But more personally, in your own individual life, what are the plans and dreams that you have always held to? The things that you have wanted to chase and aspire to, are you clinging to them, unwilling to lay down your life, have it destroyed, for the sake of living in God's kingdom? The Lord is our help. That was Isaiah's great faith. And it was Jesus' great faith as well, that the Lord would be his help. And as we navigate our lives today, in this city, as a community in this neighborhood, are we giving our lives to God? Where are we holding back? Where are we clinging to dreams of old that we created for ourselves? Where are we clinging to the plans of our own hearts and refusing to follow the guidance of the Lord? The faithful servant gives his body to his attackers to be destroyed. The faithful servant does not fear human authorities. The faithful servant stands, leaning on God, trusting him to bring salvation, life, daily bread, and everything that we need. May we learn from the faithful servant Jesus. May we cling to his example that brings us life in the midst of a world of fear. May we live by trust. May we rely on God, for he is our help. The armies, the nations, the wealth of the world cannot save us. Only God can save us. Amen.